Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message.
Good afternoon, HMS. Good afternoon, HMS. Everybody got a little bit of extra jewelry coming in here today? Man, that's pretty cool. That's class act. I know I'm excited about that. I was going to wear it, but that's a little bit too much of a counterweight on your right hand. That's a pretty big rock right there. What do y'all think? Can we do some gospel today? Is that all right with y'all? All right, let's do it. Working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm pulling up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. I'll never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. While I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. I'll never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven to get my reward. Well, I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. I'll never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven, gonna claim my reward. Well, I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up the bloodstained banner for my Lord. I'll never get tired of working on the building. I'm going up to heaven, claim my reward. I'm working on the building, it's a true foundation. Bloodstained banner for my Lord. I'll never get tired of working on the field. I'm going up to heaven, claim my reward. Amen. Yes, I'm gonna walk.
I'm gonna sit down and
Jesus came from. That's where we walk on the Milky Way way. Oh Lord, some of these days. Amen. Give the Lord a hand today. Let me ask you real quick, how many of y'all have already been frustrated at something this week? Had a moment already? How many of us at an individual? Come on now. At an inanimate object, show of hands. All right, come on, we work, it's a race shop, right? Plenty of you guys are working with mechanical things, right? Yeah, so I've got an old BMW I daily drive most days here. It's got over 300,000 miles on it, and it's been asking me for a radiator and a water pump. And it's, for you guys familiar, it's an E46, so there's still plenty of plastic underneath that thing. 2 days in, last night, I've got it mostly together, and I'm feeling clever here. I'm backfilling the radiator through the bleed screw, because I don't want the thermostat to, I don't have to wait for it to open. So I'm filling this thing up. I've got that little plastic bleed screw out. Thermostat opens. I'm ready to put that thing back in. And you know what happened. I dropped that screw, and it went into the black abyss. Of course, it didn't fall to the ground. I didn't find it. I looked for an hour, right? No telling where it is. So the mailman's bringing me another one, whatever. But it's just one of those things where, you know, 2 days in, you get frustrated. I'm going to be honest, I said a few things that were not too savory at 10:30 last night. But it's just one of those things where, you know, you can get frustrated, and that's a small thing, but, you know, everyone's got more to do after they get home from work. You know, the wife needs a chandelier hung, and you've got other stuff to do, right? So that's just frustrating. But it just reminded me real quick, and I know I'm taking up some time here, we're called to give God the glory in everything that we do, and that stands for our conduct too. You know, so one of those verses that stuck out to me, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10, maybe the last verse, 31 or something, and we're called to give God the glory in everything that we do. So whatever you're going through, I know life is life, but let's just do the best we can to remember that we're supposed to exhibit God's love as well as we can every day. And aren't we thankful for his mercy and grace every day? Amen? Yes, sir. All right. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration, and then proclaim, oh my God, how great you are. Sing it with me. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
In a world of uncertainty and doubt, faith shines through darkness. It is the unwavering trust in something greater. It gives us courage, connects the seen with the unseen, and empowers us to overcome obstacles. Faith turns storms into opportunities and setbacks into comebacks. It refines us through trials, making us stronger and resilient. With faith, the impossible becomes possible. It fills our hearts with hope, minds with clarity, and spirits with strength. Trust in God. Embrace the journey, for it reveals miracles and realizes dreams. Hold fast to faith, because with faith, we are never alone.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you, Austin, once again. I like the old hymns. Real quick, before I get started, a big thank you for those that were praying for me last week. I delivered a beautiful 2-millimeter kidney stone on Friday, about 2:30. Pretty proud of that. Thank you. Thank you. I was pretty proud of that. Who's here has ever had a kidney stone? I'm just telling you, there's nothing worse. But I was driving to work Thursday, and it just hit me driving to work. I literally could not walk. My son had to come out of the engine shop, drive me to the ER. They made me wait and wait until finally I showed myself. I was not chaplain-like at all, so I'm Austin. I'm with you. But it gets you in. It gets you in the back. You got to show yourself a little bit. But, man, it was a tough day, but I got through it. I still have two more. I don't know when they're coming out. Hope it's not in the next 30 minutes. So it's Bradley Johnson's birthday. Where are you at, Bradley? Happy birthday, Bradley. So we're in this new series. If you've been here a while, like a while, like myself, you've heard the patriarchs of this company always talk about faith, family, and friends. We hear that often. And so I wanted to look at that from a biblical perspective. What does that even mean when they say that? And today we're going to look at faith. We've looked at faith here before over the past years, but I want to look at it because there's never been a time, I think, in the day we live in right now where we're really going to have to understand our faith and the purpose of why we have it. Because at the beginning of any life, we have family and we have friends, but without faith, you're never going to understand any of that. And so we're going to look at faith today. The verse for today, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, many of you know it. Now, faith is the assurance, it's a title, deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. For by this kind of faith, the men of old gained divine approval. And we're going to look at a video here at closing that in Hebrews 11, we see the great hall of fame of faith as you read through that scripture. But when we think of faith, we all have faith. We just don't realize it. We have faith in a lot of things. But faith is a divine, it's defined as a belief with strong conviction. In other words, it's a firm belief in something for which there is no tangible proof. You know what I mean by that? Tangible proof. You guys that work on race cars understand this. Something tangible can be touched. Something tangible can be identified. It can be realized. But part of our faith in God is not very tangible. I was actually speaking to someone at the race this weekend, an employee, and this person was asking me about what the transition from working on race cars to chaplaincy. And I used an example that what I do is not very tangible. A lot of what I do, I don't really see if it's working or if I'm helpful. And I was explaining to this person that, when I worked on race cars, I could go, I did that, right? Chaplaincy is not like that because sometimes you don't really see what you're doing. But when we have faith, it's a lot like that. We believe in a God we can't see, right? He's a spirit. And so there's no tangible proof yet. Listen to this. It is complete trust, confidence, reliance, and devotion. So faith is the opposite of doubt. Faith in God is, it's not a blind faith. We're not on some blind journey here, but it's a faith rooted in hope. And so faith is believing in and obeying God. That's the approach I'm looking at when I talk about faith today. But why faith? Why do we have to have faith in a God? Why do we need to have faith in a God? Because there's plenty of people who do not. They don't put their faith in a God they can't see. Well, listen to this. Faith is the means that believers come to God and put their trust in Him for salvation. We always get to that place of salvation. I believe and trust in God not only because He has an order that He wants me to follow, but I need to be saved. I need to be saved from my sin. And we all have faith in things. Think about, just for a minute, think about this. People that jump out of planes with parachutes on put their faith in a parachute that they probably didn't even pack. Think about that. People that fly on airplanes put their faith in pilots that they never talk to when they get on the plane. They don't even know if they're certified. Hey, half the time, they don't even know if they're up there. Right? Anybody talk to their pilots when they get on the plane? We put faith in how many drivers a day did you pass coming up and down the highway that you just believe they know what they're doing. Right? We put our faith in them, especially when we're going head on with them. We put our faith in, I put my faith in morphine on Thursday. I couldn't get enough of it. Right? Kidney stone. I was like, just give me some pills. I don't even care what you give me. They were asking me about all these allergies. I don't care. I'll take hives right now. Just give me something. I put my faith in the doctors that gave me those pills, not even asking, do you know what you're doing? No, I just put my faith in them and trusted that they knew what they were doing. So we all put our faith in something. But when it comes to our life, in our afterlife, we put our faith in God. And so with that, God provides us with the faith needed to believe and trust in Him for our salvation. And we see this verse, Paul writing to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 2:8-9, a very popular verse. Listen to this in the Amplified translation. For it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved. In other words, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith, right? It's God's grace, His unmerited favor, but it's through our faith, believing in God's plan, that we're saved. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort. So there's no effort. There's no tangible thing I have to do. There's no effort. But it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law. You ever tried to keep the law? There's a lot of them, 600 plus. So that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. So we have to have faith that God's plan, His idea of what it is for us to be saved, we put our faith in that and we trust it. That's what we do. So there's no amount of me trying to do good works, no amount of attending this lunch or Bible studies or devotions or tithing. I could go on and on. That's going to save me. It's only through my faith in Christ. So we put our faith in something, that strong belief in something that we can't even see. But not only that, our faith is grounded in hope. Because think about this. Without hope, life is just dreadful. Who here, raise of hands, hopes we win the championship this year? Of course you do. Why would you not? But listen to what this hope is. It's a desired anticipation. It's to want something to happen. Now, my faith is not just some blind faith. It is filled with hope that what God says is going to happen when I leave this earth, that what's on the other side, eternal life, my hope is in that promise. And so I have to have that faith. That's where I start, by believing that God is who he says he is, even though I can't physically see him. But not only that, what do we hope for? What do you hope for? We hope for the championship, right? We hope to win this week because we didn't last week, right? We hope to get home safely today. I hope my wife and daughter, my daughter's here on spring break from college. I've seen her for like an hour. And she's down in Charleston, her and her mom living it up. Good for them. I'm here, right? In the cloudy, you know, 70-degree weather. But I hope they get home safely Friday, right? I think about that. They're by themselves, you know, having a good time. But what do we hope for? Listen to this. We hope that God is trustworthy and honors his promises. Don't you hope that? Don't you hope that what God is saying, what he's teaching us, what we read about him is true? We can be sure that his promises of salvation, eternal life, and a resurrected body will be ours someday based on who God is. And we put our hope in that. I'm putting my hope in that. But not only that, we cannot see what God offers, so we trust the reliability of his character. Well, what is his character, Donnie? Well, because he's a spirit and we can't see him, the only way we can know about God's character is we got to go to his word. So there is some tangible proof, because I can put my hands on this. And this is God's word. It's reliable. You know how I know it's reliable? You can't get rid of it. There's people that have tried, but you can't get rid of it, right? It's still reverend and seen as holy to people. It's in more homes than you can imagine, even though it's not read. But it's tangible. And so it's this proof that God's character comes from where? His word. So we can read it. And that's what we put our hope in. Everything I read in here, I believe in faith that it's true. And so with that said, why do you need this kind of faith, though? Think about this. Why do you need this faith? You ever thought about trying to have faith in something that would not exist? We put faith in things that we want to happen, right? And so people that don't believe God exists, they don't put their faith in him because they don't believe he exists. But as believers, we do believe he exists, not just because we want to make sure we escape God's judgment in a place called hell, but we need him to help us do life. Do life, right? Everybody's trying to find a way to do life nowadays. Another book, another Instagram post, another reel, another counselor, another therapist. What can I do to make my life be the way I want it to be? But as believers, we're trying to follow God's divine order and put our faith and hope in who he says he is. And so why do I need this faith? Well, listen to this. Something has to counter your doubts, right? Something's got to counter your doubts. If not, you just live in a place of doubt, right? In other words, you're calling everything into question that has to do with truth. That's where doubts come in. It's about uncertainty. It's a lack of confidence. And so if you walk through life that way, man, you're just, what a miserable place to be. And so, no, we have to have something to counter those doubts so we have faith in something we can't see. But not only that, your faith in Christ's work is what saves you. That's why you need faith, because it's your faith that prompts the gospel to deliver you from the very sin you can't deliver yourself from. How about this? Your faith saves you from God's judgment. This is important, right? Because we all are under the judgment of God. Regardless if anyone wants to talk about that or not, or preach about that, we are all under the judgment of God. And I've read this verse in John 3, 35 and 36. We see this, and we have to remember this is why we have faith. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. The Son is Jesus. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. That's God's judgment. So if you reject the Son, which is Jesus, then God's judgment is on you. As much as we don't like that, that's the truth of the scriptures. And I put my faith in that because I don't want to be under the judgment of God, right? I don't want to be under the judgment of anybody, especially a powerful God. And so your faith in God and His plan brings what? It brings hope. What is the hope? I like to say Revelation 21. If you go read almost the last chapter, there's 22 chapters in Revelation, but in chapter 21, he talks about a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth, no more sin, no more pain, no more suffering, no more crying, right? New resurrected bodies. That's the hope I'm waiting for, and I'm putting my faith in what God says about that. And so that's where my faith is. And so with that said, how do you get that faith? How do you get it? Would it be fair to say that some people's faith is stronger than others, right? I've heard that, man, my faith's kind of weak, Donnie. Like, how is one person super strong and another person's is not so strong, right? You go through difficult things in your life, hard things are happening maybe in your life, and it kind of wounds your faith a little bit. I had someone tell me recently, Donnie, I'm losing my faith in humanity. And I say, well, you should have never put your faith in humanity. Anybody agree with that? Don't put your faith in humanity. Humanity's broken. Humanity, much of it is reprobate. Romans 1. Reprobate. God has given them over to themselves. And there's judgment on the land because of it. And so we can't put our faith in people. We put our faith in God. And so with that said, I want us to look real quick at this video, and then I'm going to get back up and say a couple things, and Austin's going to come up. But we talked about this great hall of fame of faith. Listen to this. Watch this.
Faith. What is it? Being sure of our hope. Convinced of what we can't see. By faith, we understand the world was set in order at God's command. By faith, Abel offered God a greater sacrifice than Cain, and for his faith, God commended him as righteous. By faith, Noah trusted God and constructed an ark for the deliverance of his family. By faith, Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, believing God would still fulfill his promises. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoy sin's fleeting pleasure. By faith, God's chosen nation crossed the Red Sea on dry ground and praised him as it swallowed up the Egyptians. By faith, Rahab the prostitute escaped destruction because she welcomed the spies in peace. Time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, David, and the prophets. By faith, they administered justice, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire. But others were imprisoned, murdered, and wandered in deserts, mountains, and openings in the earth. We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. So get rid of every weight, of every sin, and run. Run with endurance the race set before us. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the champion and guide of our faith. For promised joy, he endured the cross, thought nothing of its shame, and having risen again, has been handed his deserved glory at the right hand of the throne of God.
So how do we get this faith, right? You can come on back up, Austin. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. See, this is tangible. The word of God is tangible. And we put our faith that God chose people to write to us. And so if it comes from hearing the word of God, listen to what Paul wrote to the church of Rome in Romans 10. But not everyone has believed the good news, Isaiah asked. We see this from Isaiah 53:1, where the Jews did not believe in Christ, from the prophet Isaiah. But he went on to say, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing the message. And the message that is heard is what Christ spoke. So you want to know how to get faith, you've got to hear the word of God. You know what so many people don't like today? Donnie, I don't like preaching. Well, then you don't like God. Because he sent people to preach the gospel. He didn't send people to be therapists. He didn't send people to be motivational speakers. He sent people to do what? Teach the word of God. Why? Because that's where we get our faith from. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message that is heard is what Christ spoke. And so your faith is built by hearing the preaching and teaching of the word of God. That's why people go to church. That's why people come to fellowship lunches. That's why people go to devotions. That's why people have small groups in their homes. That's why people read their Bible. Because this is what makes our faith strong. So when I see someone who is not reading the scriptures, that is not partaking in the word of God at church or devotions or any quiet time, they have a weak faith. You know why? Because it's not being groomed. It's not growing because they're not going to the source of our faith. And so your faith is the fuel to the Christian life. In other words, you can't be a Christian without it. You have to have faith in God. And you have to put your faith in something that, guess what? I can't see heaven. But I have faith and hope that there's a God that has promised me that one day I'll be there. And it's got to be better than the options. It's got to be. And so, I'll close with this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Paul said this to the believers in Corinth. He said, "For we live by faith, not by sight." So if you're looking for tangible things to make your life better when it comes to God, there's a lot of things that aren't tangible. You're not going to be able to touch them. You're not going to be able to identify them. You're not even going to be able to realize them. And that's why we have faith. And so when I see the patriarchs of this company say faith, family, and friends, there's no better place to start than with faith. If you don't have faith in God, I don't know how you do life. I don't know how you do life. And so I want to encourage you, get in God's word. That's the true source of the tangible things that we can look at and we can read about the God who we put our faith in. And so as we do that, we want to be a people of faith. But not just a people of faith, but we know why we have faith. We're just not a blind faith. I don't have a blind faith. I have a faith because I get to read the words of God. And so Austin's going to lead us in a cool song from way back. And I want us to stand up. Feel like if you want to sing along, let me pray for us real quick. God, thank you for our day, the logistics of allowing this to happen today, Lord. We thank you for Austin. God, that he could share with us today with the gifts you've given him. And God, help us to have the faith of an Abraham or a Moses, an Isaac, a Joseph. I think it's just the faith of the 12 apostles to believe that the man they followed who would leave them would teach them the way, and we get to read about it today. And so God, help us to be men and women of faith, but not only that, help us to share our faith so that those around us can have the same hope that we have. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. It's your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. It's your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. This is the air. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. It's your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. It's your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. It's your holy presence living in me.
Pray us out. Guys, bow your heads with me just one quick second. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, there's no better place than to do it at work. And I pray, Father, that you're with us throughout the rest of the day, that you're with us throughout the rest of the week. We ask your blessings on leadership, on our fellow co-workers. Father, thank you for the opportunity to work here and gather in this place. We love you. It's in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Take care and God bless.